Outside and the weather, Lord, having been in the 60s for the last few days, we thank you, Father. We just ask, Lord, that that millennial fever that we have, Lord, would just soon be made known to us, O God, in the reality of it coming to pass. Be with us, Father, as we study thy word this morning. And Father, may we just humbly receive your word and manifest it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I have a lot of material this morning, so I'm going to go right to it. This will be the unveiling of God number 187. We entitle it the Capstone Ministry. And this morning I'd like to speak from two paragraphs that we read sometime way back in this series. And I'd like to bring out a thought here on the capstone, which is the Holy Spirit in our midst. And I want to examine how the Holy Spirit that lived itself out in the firstborn Son is also living itself out in this hour in sons. And the Spirit of Christ in this is thus capping of his building, which is his body, which is his elect sons. Now, from a sermon, the unveiling of God, Brother Branham said, you remember he returned then to Paul after that and to Peter in the prison as a pillar of fire. You remember that. But in the last days, he's supposed to return again, but a pillar of fire is supposed to come back again to manifest the Son of Man, see, to show the word, the light. The transitions that's been, will be wiped away. There's nothing going to bother it. It's going to be done anyhow. God just tears them denominations and traditions down. What kind of a spirit will he do it with? Like he did in the first place. Look what he done in the days of Elijah, in the days of John. Don't you think to say within yourselves that you have Abraham to your father because God's able of these stones to rise children to Abraham. See, don't you think because I belong to this or that. See, God tearing off the veil. See, to show who he is. See, watch the veil when it rents here now. Now, here's the thing. There's a lot of words in here that Brother Branham said that you're going to see how they come out a little bit later. Like he says, don't, you know, he's quoting Jesus about raising up stones out of Abraham. And we're going to find out that actually, you know, God is the rock. You know, he's the rock of our salvation. And we are hewn from that same rock and those kind of things. But we're going to find out what that rock is. More importantly, what things that we've kind of missed. All right. Now, everything, all Scripture is manifesting in this hour. It's just tremendous to see things that we didn't see before coming out as they do. And I just had a hallelujah time last night in this word because it's just tremendous. Now, from the unveiling of God, again, paragraph 38, he said, For his acts, he changes his form. Then he came the form of the Son of Man. For the Reformers' age, Wesley, Luther, and all down through that. And then we find out that they got it so bundled up, just like the Israelites did, till when he does appear in the last days in the Pentecostal age as the Holy Spirit, they rejected it. They did the same thing Israel did. And what does he do now? Return the Son of Man. And then from that, Son of David. See how close we are. Son of Man, Son of David, Son of God. He's revealed in the last days as Son of Man according to Malachi 4. All the rest of the prophecies pertaining to this hour. No more dealing with the church after that. He put him out on the outside, knocking on the door. Some predestinated seed in there yet. He must get to them. Now, notice the church has put him out. All right, we know that. How? As Son of Man, prophet. So what was put out wasn't, oh, this Bible. We all believe this Bible, right? He said they can read the same Bible you're reading. They didn't put the Bible out. They put the manifested Son of Man out. All right. I talked to them about a prophet. You talk about William Graham. Oh yeah, he was like an Old Testament prophet. He was a man of God. But you believe what he said? Well, you know, I mean, he's a man. You know. Listen. What was put out of the church was this message. All right, which is Christ. So as Son of Man, they reject the prophet who comes with the word, just as Jesus came as Son of Man to the people, prophet, sign, and Messiah. When Jesus performed the sign of Messiah, the woman at the well, she says, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." Notice, this woman who had been living in adultery for six men, different men at different times. All right, she said, "I perceive you're a prophet," when she saw the sign of Messiah. Well, what do the denominations do? What do the Pharisees do? "Thou art Beelzebub. You have a devil." See? We know that when Messiah comes, he will show us these things. And he said, "I am he that speaketh unto you right now." So this woman who represented the church, because the church is always represented in the scripture as a woman, and notice she was a harlot, living with her sixth husband, who was not exactly a husband, just a live-in partner. So this woman was a harlot, and she represented the condition of the church in that hour. And since Alpha has repeated in Omega, we see the same condition of the church when the Son of Man came again in this hour and used a prophet just like Christ. The Holy Spirit used the vessel of His Son in the Alpha. So He used the vessel of another Son in this hour to project Son of Man through the sign of Messiah. But the church rejects Him in this hour. The word stands outside knowing. The midnight shout is to come out and meet Him, the Word. And He's standing out on the outside of the church. Now, that's very important for us to know, because outside of this message, people haven't got a clue what's happening right now. And they don't have a clue of the timetable of God. Now, from a sermon 70 weeks of Daniel, and now they guess at it, but your guess is as good as mine. But if we don't have "Thus saith the Lord," forget it. Now, from 70 weeks of Daniel, Brother Brown says, "Now then, after that age lived by the Wesleyans, coming the Pentecostal age with the baptism of the Holy Ghost." See, you're shaping up all the time. Now remember, the headstone wasn't on it yet. Why? They shaped the church just exactly, or the pyramid, in shape to fit the headstone, but the headstone never did come. Oh, you see where I'm at, don't you? Now the ministry from Luther until the ending of Pentecost is a little bitty minority up here. That's the reason the light almost goes out in this age there on the calendar, on the chart. It's the Pentecostal age, Pentecostal, not the Pentecostal denominations. Because they done exactly like the Laodiceans. They are Laodicean. They did like the Nicolaitans, organized. But the true church all over the world has shaped down to the place that there's coming a ministry among them just exactly like the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, what do they got? They got the thing in condition. Now, what's the next thing? This rejected stone is the pyramid cut out of the mountain. Now, you all remember Billy Paul's dream? People think that's still in the future. It's already come. The rejected stone to the pyramid, cut out of the mountain, without what? Without hands. God sent it. Do you see it? The rejected one, the rejected stone, is the head of the capstone. And the very one that they rejected through the Gentile age is Christ. And Christ was not cut or put in here as a vicar or son of God or some great dignitary in the church. He's the Holy Spirit, and the cap of the pyramid will be Christ coming down. Do you see it? He's talking parousia. Now listen, 70 weeks of Daniel. Now because that they're in shape, see where I've got this shape here like the pyramid, the arriving of the saints makes the march into glory. You understand it now. Christ the headstone, the rejected stone, the all-seeing eye coming exactly like the Bible said. You see, people always misconstrue the Word of God. When God's speaking, He's speaking in terms, well, we're going to find out. Okay, now, call it what you will, but this is the parousia of Christ that He's talking about here. This is the presence of Christ He's talking about here. And what does He say about it? That is what they reject. That's why He's on the outside. His presence is on the outside. The Word made flesh, made manifest. And what does He say about it? That is what they reject. The capstone, the head of the bride church, that which is the cap off the pyramid has come down, and they have rejected the very sign He gave us at the time of the cornerstone, which was laid. And now that very same Holy Spirit presence that was in the Son of God came down in this hour to cap His church, and they have rejected it. They rejected the very fruits to prove it, which was sign of Messiah. Now that is why I hit so hard about staying away from these YouTube ministers. They're all Trinitarian false prophets, and they have one job, and that is to take you away from the capstone teaching of His presence here, vindicated by the sign of Messiah. Now, Brother Brown continues, "And Daniel said he watched this Gentile age until the stone come out of the mountain that wasn't cut with hands." They had never put a capstone on the pyramid. It wasn't cut by man's hands. It's God's hands that cut the stone. You see it. And what did it do? It hit the image right smack in the feet and broke it to pieces, ground it to powder. Hallelujah. What happened at the time, the coming of that stone, up went the church into glory at the rapture, because it's ending the Gentile dispensation. God ended it up, the coming of that stone. Now, you're going to say, oh, so people are looking for this huge meteor, this huge thing to come down, just bam, and then all of a sudden we go into tribulation period. He's already come. The capstone is that stone of offense, the rock of offense. The Holy Spirit in our midst. I'm going to show you. I'm going to prove it by Scripture. Now, I know that many people see that, that's a physical stone like a meteor or some big comet, but I want you to open your eyes. That stone has already come. He is the stone that the builder rejected in the corner has become the headstone. The same Holy Spirit in the Alpha was that was rejected is here, and he's been rejected as a headstone, the capstone. And it's this capstone ministry of God which has come down to become the spiritual head of his church. Brother Branham said from his sermon, Manifest the Sons of God. Notice the title, Manifest the Sons of God. It's built right up like this to a point, and the stone of the capstone never was found. They never did put a cap on the pyramid. I don't know whether you know it or not. The big pyramid of Egypt, it never had a top on it. Why? The capstone was rejected. Christ, the headstone, see, was rejected. But as we grow from the Lutheran age, Baptist age, Methodist age, Pentecostal age, we're right up to the capping stone now. See, waiting and longing for that capping stone to set down, the building's complete. We have not, have you not read in the Scripture the stone was rejected? Of course, we realize that that was talking to Solomon's temple. But the rejected stone has become the chief of the corner. But I'm saying this only to make a picture to you. Now, and in the Bible, we're living in the last days, the top of the pyramid. The cross fishes of the Cancer age in the zodiac, in the time of the coming of the Leo the lion in the capping stone. And in the days of the manifestation of the sons of God in the Bible, see where we're at? We're right at the end time. So, brothers, it is a spiritual stone because it's not cut out with hands. It is God. He is the rock of ages and our fortress in time of trouble. And when he came down, his parousia, it laid out everything. It laid out every kingdom. It laid out everything and exposed everything and crushed the power that every kingdom held over its people. And he which began the good work in you is performing it. And it is God that is working in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So the same rock that followed the children of Israel in the first Exodus, he is the same and changes not. He is here in the third Exodus as well. 1 Corinthians 10 and 4 says, and they all drank of that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Can't you see it? Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2 and 8, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall, they stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. Again, the prophet Samuel told us in 1 Samuel 2 and 2, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. And this rock, which Daniel saw coming down and crushing the nations by his presence, has done exactly that. And we see, and we sit like dumb sheep thinking that it's yet to come. It is not yet to come. It has already come. Everything we have need of to get us out of here is already here. We should be aware of that. Now, from his sermon, Man That Can Turn on the Light, Brother Branham says, my son Billy Paul, remember the dream Billy Paul had? All right. My son Billy Paul, he talks in his sleep, but he doesn't have dreams very often. He had one the other night that shook him up. Said he dreamed, he was at a church, and I hadn't come in yet. And so when I come in, fire was flying out of my eyes. And I said, the time is here, it's over, and everybody begins screaming. I can't, my children, and me, my wife, I said, and I can't get Sarah to ask for blessing at the table and so forth. And he said, I've got to go get Lois and the baby. I said, Lois can't come now. The baby's too young to know. Billy, the hour is here. We must go. And I said, it's midnight now. Before daylight, Jesus will be here. If it isn't, then I'm a false witness of Christ. And somebody spoke up and said, no man knows the minute or the hour. And I said, and I never said minute or hour. I said, sometime between now and daylight. I said, Billy, let's go. And I said, but we're at the time. Let's go. And we got in the car and started. And we started up the mountain. And when we did, it looked like the light was coming and the skies were dark upon the earth. And he said, I pulled off the side of the road, held my hands over like this, fire still flying from my eyes. And he said, Lord, I have did this at your command. I have did this just because that you told me to do it this way. I have did these things according to what you told me, and I motioned to a big granite mountain, and a light without hands cut a stone out of the mountain, weighing hundreds of tons, and here it comes. And I said, turn your heads, don't look. It'll be all over in just a few minutes. Then a great holy hush come everywhere as this stone come toward the place. Now, if you stop right there, you think, okay, this is going to yet happen. There's going to be this huge stone somewhere down in Tucson. It's going to come down and just crush the city. Now, most people stop reading it right there. And that's where they make the mistake. You see, Deuteronomy 32 and 4 says, he is my rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. Psalm 18 and 31, for who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? No rock except our God. So Brother Branham continued, and remember, the rock that followed them in the wilderness was Christ, Paul said. All right? So Brother Branham continues saying, in verse 70, and it may be later than we think. Notice he just read about Billy Paul here saying that then a great holy hush came over everywhere and this stone come toward the place. And then Brother Branham says, it may be later than we think. There, see, that's exactly scriptural, you see. The stone without hands cut out of the mountain. And so one of these days it's going to be that way when you're going to scream for something. And I said to him, you've already had that time. You missed that. One of these days it's going to happen. One of these days people are going to scream. It's already happened. You've already had that time. God has constantly warned you time after time. Yeah, I said, even if it's my own kid or whoever it is, the hour is here. I can only say what he's told me to say, and it'll be here, and it was. And it was. And then all of a sudden, here he come, a stone cut out of a mountain without hands. Daniel saw it, you know, back many years ago, and Billy knew nothing about that. But it was a dream sent to him from the Lord. Now, see, they claim to be worshiping that very God that they were making fun of. And the same thing has reversed again today by the same reason, living in the glare instead of the light. Great lights has a shine all right. Okay. So he says that is how they always miss it. Man is always looking to what God will do and seeing what he has done and failing to recognize what he's doing. From we've seen a star, he says, and listen, they had a master down there. If you want to read it, Daniel 2 and 43. Daniel the prophet was their master when they were down in Babylon. That's exactly. Daniel was their master prophet. And he had taught them all the things of God because he was a master over them. And he told them that there would be a stone cut out of the mountain someday. You remember him tell that. Without hands. And it would smash the Gentile kingdoms. Not just Tucson. The Gentile kingdoms of the world, all kingdoms, A-double-L, and itself would grow and cover the earth. Oh, people, don't you see? That is what is going on right now. The Gentile kingdoms are becoming dust. They're crumbling. Everything's false. Everything's fake. Everything's built on a false foundation. They're all being destroyed. There's no truth anywhere. All tables are full of filth. Try to find truth anywhere. You can't. Find it outside. You can't find it outside this message. And this word, this message has exposed everything until all things have become manifested by the light. Ephesians 5:13. America will never be great again. I don't care how many slogans you got. She has sinned away her day of grace. Thus saith the Lord. 1956, this nation will never come back. From Abraham Restored, he said, well then, if God can use a cow and a horse and a sheep and a bird by instinct to flee the wrath that's coming, you'd better get away from these big old walls of Babylon and flee to Jesus Christ. Because she's going to crumble and fall one of these days. Remember, there was a stone cut out of the mountain without hands, come rolling into Babylon and tearing it down wherever it went. And the kingdom of this world would fall just as certain. Every man-made kingdom's got to sink so the kingdom of God can take the right away. Every man-made organization will fall and crumble to the dust that the power of the Holy Ghost might take the church and rapture it into that place. That's right. Yes, sir. See, everything they served is purpose. But we're at the time, brother, when God is calling his people. The stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands is rolling in, crashing down Babylon, moving right all over it. Get away from the big walls, friends. Come into Jesus Christ. That's the only place of safety or refuge that I know. Again, David said in the Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. Now, the Lord gave me another scripture and quote here. I just want to kind of insert at this time. From Isaiah 40, verse 4, it says, every valley shall be exalted. Now remember, this fulfilled John the Baptist's ministry and then right into Jesus. Every valley shall be raised, exalted. Every mountain shall and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. That was a prophecy of John the Baptist's ministry, bringing down the high places, bringing down King Herod. You know, you're a fox. You're living with your brother's wife. You know, bringing the high places low and bringing the low places, the humble people, bringing them up. From we would see Jesus, Brother Abson, and John the Baptist, Elijah, that was coming. That he would be some great fellow, great because the mountains would skip like rams and the leaves was to clap their hands and the high places made low and the low places high. Well, they expected some great outstanding something to shake the nation. But when he came, what was he? He was a man with a piece of sheepskin draped around him with beard all over his face. Lives off the locusts and wild honey and came forth preaching on the muddy banks of the Jordan and shaking the churches to repentance. And when he seen many come into his baptism, he said, generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath? Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God's able of these stones to raise children unto Abraham. Also, see, Brother Abraham quoted that in the beginning of our sermon today. For I say unto you that God's able of these stones to raise children of Abraham also. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. Every tree that brings forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So you see, it was altogether different. They couldn't receive him. When Jesus came, he came with an illegitimate name. Name as a child born out of holy wedlock. Never went to any seminary school or anything else that we have any record of in the Bible or history that he ever attended one day of school. But he astounded the priest because he was sent of God. He had the wisdom and power of God to back up everything that he said, and he astounded them at his doctrine, for he didn't teach like the scribe. He taught as one who had the word of the Lord. We've seen his teaching was altogether different than what the churches had of his day. Perhaps it's a lot different today. So, listen, they were looking for, when Messiah to come, just a total cataclysmic of everything. The low places made high, and the high places made low, and the crooked paths made straight, and just, you know, the leaves would clap their hands and all these other things, and he said it already came, and they didn't know it. Think about it. All right? From what the Holy Ghost was given for, Brother Bram said, there's only one way to find it. There was a stone cut out of the mountain without hands that rolled into the world and smashed it out and become like wheat chaff on the threshing floor. Let that stone, the Christ, Jesus, that stumbling stone to the world, a stone of an offense, a laughing stone, a stumbling block to the church, but a precious and loadstone to the believer, a stone of assurance, a stone of rest. Oh my, resting. I know that I pass from death unto life. My soul is at rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest to your soul. A sign that's to be evil spoken of, saith the prophet to Mary. It'll be a sign. Sure, it will be. But it'll be an assurance. It'll be a love. It'll be a satisfaction. It'll be something that you know that you've passed from death unto life. So Brother Bram quotes that stone coming down, and then he says, that was Jesus the Christ. All right? Let that stone, the one that makes everything the threshing floor, just, you know, smashes the world and everything else you see here, rolled in the world, smash it up. At that stone, Christ Jesus. All right, from the oneness of unity, he says, Daniel saw that in the end, when that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it rolled into the kingdom of the world and crushed them, and it became like trash on the floor, the husks that the winds blew away, but the stone covered all the earth. That stone is Christ. Huh? There you go. There will be, sometimes there will be one nation, one people, one flag, the old rugged cross. Praise be to the living God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood with righteousness. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and save. For on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground, churches, denominations, nations, UNs, whatever it might be, is all sinking sand. It's got to come to an end. We are in the midst of watching the world crumble away. The economies, the religion, the education, the medicine, it's all false, all fake, it's all just follow the money. From this, is this the sign of the end, sir? That ought to tell you that the capstone is here crushing the Gentile kingdoms. Getting ready for what? To take us out so that God can usher in the time for the Jews. Now, is this the end of the time, sirs? It might be closer than you think. It's got me scared. Oh, I haven't done enough. Where are we at? Time shall be no more. He announced that time is over. What happens? Could that be so now, brethren? Seriously, think. If it is, then the pyramid is capped by the seven thunders. You remember the pyramid message? It's the capstone. What did it do? The Holy Spirit capped off the individual and sealed it. When we added to our faith righteousness, that's rightwiseness, and godliness and faith and so forth, we kept adding to it. We got seven things, and the seventh one was love, which is God. That's how he makes the individual. He caps him and seals him with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Then, if that be so, he's got seven church ages that he's had seven mysteries that's been sounded away, and they fought for to bring back, and now the headstone comes to cap off the church. Does the thunders mean that, my brethren? Sirs, is that where we are at? Well, then you got people, they run off into these mysteries. You know, there's going to be seven thunders. It's already come, brother, sister. That's the seals. It's the opening of the seals. Remember, in John heard the thunder, and then the seal was open. Heard another thunder, seal was open. You see? Now, I know that many brethren are misguided and are looking for the thunders to yet be revealed, but the thunders were the opening of the seals. And all the seals have been revealed, and those thunders were the opening of those seven seals. From question and answers, conic order and doctrine, Brother Branham says, have the seven thunders, which equal seven mysteries, already been revealed? Were they revealed in the seven seals, but are yet not known to us as the thunders yet? No, they were revealed in the seven seals. That's what the thunders was about. They was to reveal. The seven thunders that had uttered their voices and no one could make out what it was. John knew what it was, but it was forbidden to write it. He said, but the seventh angel on the days of his sounding, the seven mysteries of the seven thunders would be revealed. And the seventh angel is a messenger of the seventh church age. So it's over. Things people are still looking for. It's done. The capstone has come down. The stone that was cut out of the mountains is the Holy Ghost himself. He's come to smite the Gentile world, the Gentile kingdoms. They're all crumbling. Why? 1956, thus saith the Lord, they rejected it and they'll never come back. You ain't going to make America great again. You see, it's already happened and they knew it not. That's why Brother Bram said, you are standing before the white throne now. Why? Because the judge is here. And the people go on with their fussing and attitudes, not even aware that the judge of all the earth is here. Just like Abraham's wife, she lied to the judge of all the earth, and God would have struck her dead, except that it was his friend Abraham's wife. In the unveiling of God. Now, many have been saying to me, and theologians said, Brother Branham, if the Lord God said, if with your experience that the Lord God has given you for his people, humbly saying this, that said, you'd be eligible to write a Bible yourself, your word that God has manifested. And I said, that might be true. See, he was trying to catch me. See? And I said, well, but you see, I couldn't do that. He said, why couldn't? You have all the qualifications. I said, but you look, one word cannot be added or taken away. See? And he said, well, then, them seven thunders, you see? And said, wouldn't them seven thunders blasting out, won't they be a revelation to be given to some man? And I said, no, sir. It would be adding something to it or taking something from it. It's all revealed in there, and the seven seals opened up the revelation of what that was. So all these people pounding. You know, listen, it's pride is what it is. There's a bunch of men around the world claiming to be one of those seven messengers that are bringing forth the thunders. I'm sorry, but that's insanity. It's already done. Thus saith the Lord. See, he's still in the Word. You see, you can't get out of the Word. It won't leave that Word, and God's Spirit will never leave that Word. It'll stay right with the Word, blinding some and opening the eyes of others. It always will do that. From the breach, the seven-sealed book is revealed at the time of the seven thunders of Revelation 10. If you're marking that down, let's turn to Revelation 10 just a moment, and you'll see, and you'll get an understanding before we get into it. Now, this is at the end of time. For listen, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. There's a picture right there. All right. If you notice, that's Christ, see? Because he is the Old Testament, was called the Angel of the Covenant, and he's directly coming to the Jews now, for the church is finished, see? All right, and his face, as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. You remember that angel of Revelation 1, Same thing, angel is a messenger, and he's a messenger to Israel. See, the church has been raptured, see, now, or fixing to be raptured, and he comes for his church. You see how late it is? All these things have taken place. God in his mercy, God in his grace, has given us more time to get ourselves lined up with his word. Seven church ages. But listen, another scripture come to me. Daniel said, when he seen this angel come down with a rainbow over his head, put one foot on the land, one on the sea, and held up his hand and swore by him that lives forever and ever. When those seven voices uttered thunders uttered their voices, he said, seal it, not known until the last day. He said, but the time this mystery of God should be finished, when these will be revealed to the church, and he swore by him that liveth forever and ever, that time should be no more. Now listen to what he said there. He said, go thy way, Daniel, shut up the book, see, for thou shalt rest, and you shall stand in the last days in your lot. But many of those who turn many to the righteousness shall outshine the stars forever and ever. There you are, stars. Those seven ministers through seven church ages, which consists of 2,000 years. It's already done. Now, I do not know if you're aware, but there are a bunch of ministers who claim to be preaching the message who actually have no clue what the message is, even about. But they're looking for seven men to raise up and speak those thunders. Why can't they just believe what God's prophet has told us? That was the seven messengers were the seven church ages over the past 2,000 years. That was the seven thunders. From unveiling of God, Brother Branham said, now as Revelation 10 is revealed, the mysteries of God is made known as a seven sealed book promise. Now, let your faith in him. Who is the word? Who is the word? Because in Revelation 10 it says, or in Revelation 19 rather, I had it wrote down here, a Revelation 10 to go to, but it's not Revelation 10, it's 19. But when he comes, he goes to be called the Word of God, riding upon a white horse, and the followers of heaven will be behind him. Break the denominational veil of education. Break the denominational veil of tradition. Break those veils that's hiding him from you. Break those veils of pride, you women. You're a king's daughter. Act like it. Live like it. Break every veil, no matter what PhD or LLD says. If it's contrary to that Bible, break through that veil. For we've crossed the ribbon veil. We're on the other side now, on the other side. And you'll see, if you just do that, break those old traditions and things that come to him, you'll see him standing, the mighty conqueror, the word of promise for this age made manifest. You'll see the mighty God unveiled. See him right among us here, unveiled, the mighty God unconquered by tradition. In other words, get rid of all your own thinking, because it's your own thinking that always takes you off. And if you can just get rid of all that tradition, all of your old thinking, all of your old doctrine, and look to him, the word, you're going to actually see him. You're going to see, like we see this morning, that rock cut out without hands is already here. It's Christ. Hallelujah. He's crushing the kingdoms. Hallelujah. They think they're going to rise up and become a new world order. No, they're just dissolving into dust. Hallelujah. Brother Ram's sermon, God's only provided a place of worship. He says, sometime the captain will return, the head of it all, and receive the bride unto himself. Now that sometime is already here. The capsule and the great Holy Spirit himself is here. We showed you where Jesus preached his parousia, and Paul preached it, and Peter preached it, and James and John. They all spoke of the parousia, and I've shown you that 79 of the 84 things that he is to do has already taken place, and so has this great stone cut out without hands. The capstone has come, and when it was rejected, since that time it has set about destroying all the Gentile kingdoms and bringing them to an end. Economy's gone down since 56. You see things crumbling. Education's gone down since 56. The church attendance has gone down. The people of God have become more godless all the time. Just everything's come. Hallelujah. You will never make America great again to turn down the sign of Messiah, the Prince of the Lord himself, the great capstone that would have captured this nation with 1,000 years of glory had it received it. But thus they did not, and now they're under judgment. From Matthew 21:42, Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scripture the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. In other words, you shall be humbled. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Oh, brother, if you're going to beat your head, beat it against this word. Just, my God. Like David said, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus is that. But he hasn't forsaken us. He's here. He's on the scene. So you either dash yourself upon this capstone and become humbled in his image, or else it will fall upon you and completely destroy you. But that great stone cut out without hands, on the one hand, is destroying the Gentile kingdoms, while on the other hand is gathering his precious stones, his jewels, to build his kingdom with. Malachi 3:6 says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him of them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. What's a jewel? It's a precious stone. Hallelujah. A stone of great value. Well, what's doxa? It's the values. You know, God's judgments, his values, his opinions. So these stones are filled with value. His opinions. It is a precious stone. And I will spare them, he says, as a man spares his own son that serveth him. So these stones are sons. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. Now, as I said, there's an awful lot of that is said here. But by God's grace, we broke this down and took it to the scripture. Notice these stones are sons. Isaiah 51:1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence you were hewn. See? And the whole of the pit whence you are digged. We are little chips off the old block, so to speak. And that's the words that we use when we see a son who acts just like his father. That is why Jesus said, Peter, thou art a stone, and upon revelation of who my father is, because he's your father also, upon that stone I will build my church. Remember Deuteronomy 32:4? He tells us God is our rock. Well, in verses 1-2, he tells us that God is a doctrine. He says, give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, and my speech will distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as a shower upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God, and he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. The God of truth and without iniquity, just and right. How has God shaped this earth? How is the Grand Canyon shaped and all these things shaped? By the rushing waters. All right? How do we get shaped? By the doctrine, by the washing of water, by the Word. He's molding us, shaping us. And we are his jewels, his precious stones. Hallelujah. Now, Brother Branham says, sometime the capstone will return the head of it all and receive the bride unto himself. And in this statement consists of 5 points. Number one, Brother Bram began by saying sometime. And so we found ourselves looking at this to mean a specific time or season for something to happen. Sometime after some time or specific season, something will happen. And that which will happen, he says, the capstone shall return. And then he says, in order to receive something, and that something is called the bride. And where is this bride going to be received? To himself. And that is the focus of the message, to declare him that he is here. So let's look at these 5 points for the next few minutes before we close. Number one, the word sometime. He says sometime. And in other words, we're looking at a specific time or season for something to happen. Ecclesiastes 3:1 tells us, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. But we were not interested in every time or everything. More specifically, we are interested in knowing the specific thing or the specific time or season. So then we found that the season must have earmarks or marks of distinction, like we see in the spring, summer, autumn, and winter. Each of these seasons has earmarks or specific characteristics that we are aware of and that we know of, which we use to identify the season that we're in. So we see that the characteristics identify the season. So we find in 1 Peter 1:5-13 that there would come a season which is epical and strategic in its nature, according to Weiss' translation. Verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be revealed to you unto you at the revelation or the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Now notice here we see that a season of grace is to come at the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what does this grace do? It identifies the revelation of Jesus Christ. Grace, then, will be an earmark of this message or this revealing of Christ. Now, the season is very important to us, And we must know and understand what season that we're in, because each season has specific earmarks, identifiable characteristics of what we call fruits. Each season has specific fruits that will come forth, and you must know what season that you're in so you'll know the fruits to expect. You see, strawberries are harvested in June, so if you look for them in October, you'll miss out on the strawberry harvest. Just the same as apples are best harvested in September and October, and if you look for them in June, you will not be satisfied with the fruit that you find. You must know the fruits are to accompany a season, and then you plant accordingly and your harvest will be successful. In examining Psalm 1, verse 1 to 4, we find that God likens man to a tree that brings forth his fruit in a season. But it also tells us that the ungodly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind driveth away. The scripture tells us that we must have the right fruit for the right season. In Matthew 7, 16 to 20, it tells us, "You shall know them by their fruits." And what are these fruits Jesus is talking about? Well, we know that Jesus said, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Therefore, as a man is, so shall he think and speak." Therefore, his fruit shall show what he is, just what he is. Just like an apple hanging on a tree shows what type of a tree it is. When Jesus told his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, they thought that he was speaking of bread, but he was not speaking of bread, he was speaking of doctrine. So a man's doctrine will declare what that man is in his heart. From Anointed Ones at the End Time, Brother Brent said, what is the fruit? It's the teaching of the season. So we see then that the season is all important so as to what fruit is to be manifested. And since the fruit is the teaching of the season, then the teaching will identify the season as well. Right? So we see that the season has characteristics which identify itself. And these characteristics that we are looking at here is a fruit or teaching that are being presented to the people. So then we must ask ourselves what identifiable characteristics of Brother Brown speaking of here when he says sometime. Now sometime what? And we follow up with sometime the capstone shall return. So then we are looking at the season when the capstone shall return. Because what's the capstone to do? What's that big stone cut out without hands? It's to destroy the Gentile kingdoms. But it's also to produce little jewels. You know, it's interesting that the comets that strike the earth, they find in them gold and silver, things like that. You see, this great capstone is filled with gold, deity. And God has put that deity, that spirit of deity, in his sons. And the capstone is referred to in the scripture by the word headstone. And of course, we have already shown you that he is here, capping his building, his church, his elect. In Zechariah 4, 4-7, we read, "Then the angel that talked to me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it." So when the headstone comes down, the great mountains become leveled out. It's a leveling, level field. So the headstone is to be brought with a shout, which we know is 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-18, which is a message. So the message is the fruit showing forth that the headstone is here. Therefore, the shout he came down with, his parousia, is the fruit of his ministry. And it shows the capstone has come shouting, "Grace, grace unto it." As I was having a conversation with my brother Mark, you just keep him in prayer. He's really coming along very well. And, he even quotes back to me things that I've mentioned to him before. And we talked about grace, you know, and I said, Mark, I said, the only way that you know that you have the grace of God is that you have grace for others. See, if you don't have grace for others, you have not received the grace of God yourself. You're just a legalist, or you're just a, you know, heady, high-minded. Because he is grace, and we come into his image. We've got to project grace. Now, this is a very peculiar thing about the time of the season of the headstone, because the people will be involved in the shout, and their cry will go forth as an echo of the shout, crying, "Grace, grace unto it." Grace, grace unto what? Unto the headstone. He's here to seal us in. From Jesus keeps all of his appointments, Brother Branham says, as it gets closer and closer to the negative and positive coming together until they both become the same thing. And that's exactly when the church and the word has to be one, like Jesus and God was one. Just exactly. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And so will Christ have to be in the church, the anointed of the word, to make everything fulfilled. And that's the capstone that's coming upon the last church age. And from The paradox, Brother Anderson says, now watch, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and the capstone, when the church and the word become the same. Same thing, exactly perfect. So we see the time of the capstone will be marked by certain characteristics, and the characteristics will bring forth a shout in the people, crying, grace, grace, unto it. Now remember, grace will be an earmark or an identifiable characteristic of the capstone. Now, the grace I can think of is that it's God working in you, both to will and to do. He that began the work is going to complete it. That's all grace. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, where it states that He will establish our hearts unblameable and in holiness in the presence of God, even our Father, at the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's He doing? He's establishing our hearts in grace. Unblameable and in holiness. So we see our holiness does not come from anything that we can do, but simply from what He said about you. Notice how Brother Branham is speaking. He said of the time when the capstone would return, and we know that what He told us this capstone would do. He said the anointed word, which is Christ, would come amongst the bride and even enter into the bride, making her one with the Father. We find in 2 Thessalonians 1:7, and you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. There it is right there. That's the fulfillment. 2 Thessalonians, then we skip up to verse 10. Okay. And you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints. In His saints. That word is endoxazo, which means that His doxa, His opinions, values, and judgment will be manifested or magnified in our Zoe. In Zoe. Life. Therefore, I want you to notice how He comes in the saints. This is when the very mind of God comes into the saints. Point number 3, which is the receiving or reception we get from Him. And we know that this receiving us is already taking place as He is gathering us unto Him according to Scripture. 2 Thessalonians 2:1, and we beseech you, brethren, by the parousia of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. It's at the time of the parousia we are being gathered to who? To the Word. Matthew 3:12. The fan is in His hand, and He will thoroughly purge His floor and gather His wheat into the garner, but He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So it sees that the fan is in His hand, driving out the chaff by every wind of doctrine. Yes, they are falling for the doctrines of devils, while the bride of Christ is gathering unto Him who is the Word. Now remember, the church's reception of Him was not good. He was rejected and put out of the church, and He is standing at the door knocking, trying to get back in. He says there is a certain season in which the capstone Himself shall return and receive or gather a bride to Himself. And that is what we're striving for. That is what this is all about. And how does He receive us? By bringing forth in us His manifested Word. We are gathered unto Him and He is the Word. Now, let's look further at what He says in paragraph 256. He says, sometime the capstone will return, the head of it all, and receive the bride unto Himself, which the woman is took from the man, a part of the man. Every genes of the man is in the woman. That's what makes the woman, and that's the way the Word of God is in the church, what makes the church the bride. Now, as we look at this statement, I want you to notice closely that Brother Branham is giving us a little biology lesson here. He's typing the natural with the spiritual, as he often did, and he's focusing our minds upon his thought of genes of God. And he says the woman is taken from the man because she's actually part of the man. Then he qualifies this by saying genes of the man is in the woman. And he again qualifies this by saying that's what makes the woman. Or in other words, that's what makes up the woman. Now, he also said in his sermon, Jesus keeps all appointments. He says, as it gets closer and closer, the negative and positive are coming together until they both become the same thing. And that's exactly when the church and the Word has to be one, like Jesus and God was one. Just exactly. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. And so will Christ have to be in the church, the anointed of the Word, to make everything fulfilled. And that's the capstone that comes upon the last church age. What is it? It's the Word capping you off, sealing you in. And from the paradox, he says, watch Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and the capstone when the church and the Word becomes the same. Same thing exactly perfectly. So we see that he's letting us know in order for the bride and the Word to be one. If the Word was in God and the Word is God, then we must have the same genes as God in order to be one with Him. And we find this in the Scripture as we examine 1 Peter 2, verse 6 and 9, where it says, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Now the word confounded, it means confused. And we know that according to 1 Corinthians 2, that no man can understand the things of God except the Holy Ghost be in him. And if you understand the things of God, you will not be confused or confounded. Attributes of them who are born again. Now notice first that this capstone or headstone was the cornerstone that was rejected. And the Alpha ministry and those who are elect will not be confounded or confused. And that is because they will understand. And if they will understand the message, and he said, my ministry is to declare him, that he's here, then they will have to understand Godhead and vindication in order to know who is here. Therefore, they will know who it is that has come down, and they will be able to understand that God is coming here to wrap everything up. 1 Peter 2 and 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And notice he comes to collect his precious stones, his jewels. So he's precious. We're made out of the same stone, same rock. But unto them that be disobedient, the stone which the builders have disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Now, if you will notice here, he did not say he has made the corner, but he has made the head of the corner. Jesus the man came in the Alpha, and he is the Lamb that will be at the top of the holy mountain, New Jerusalem. But above him will be the pillar of fire which will show forth God's presence. And it is that same Spirit of God that was in Jesus reconciling the world to himself that has come back as a capstone or headstone at this hour. And notice, Peter says, to those who believe, he is precious. And if he is precious, then for him to be here has to be precious to us. Because how can you say he is precious and then deny his parousia presence and call it false doctrine? If he is precious, then the very thought of him being here ought to make you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. From 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not you even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his parousia? Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, which is a Greek word, timē, which means he is highly valued, or you place the highest value upon him. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And what do they do with that? They rejected it both times. Now, let's see what the attitude of those who are called by Scripture as disobedient are children of disobedience. Now, let's read a couple of Scriptures that speak of the children of disobedience, and I want you to look for earmarks or identifiable characteristics. In Ephesians 2 and 1, he says, and you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And that spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience is not the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5 and 6 tells us, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So we see that those children have one thing in common, a false anointing from the devil that brings deception. And how does it come? By vain words, useless words, words which mean nothing, which is their own words, and not God's words, which are thus saith the Lord. Therefore, if the two main doctrines that Jesus brought forth were Godhead and presence, which is vindication, then other thoughts that would go contrary to these would have to be considered vain and useless. But as we see here by these scriptures, 1 Peter 2 and 7, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient. See, and according to the next scripture, in verse 8, it says it's a stone of offense and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now, these children of disobedience are serpent seed, so they cannot be the seed of God. In fact, as we read further in the next verse, we'll find out for sure. But notice that the elect, to the elect, this headstone or capstone ministry of his appearing is precious to us. It is considered the most valuable thing that we know, but the other seed, it is considered a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Now, if we really get into this and look at the definition of the word offense, we shall find that it means something that causes resentment and anger, the act of attacking and assault. And that is why they say it's not so much their doctrine that we hate, it's their spirit. They say we have a wrong spirit, and that is why they could not buy into what Jesus had to say either. He came at them with a two-edged sword, and they did not like it either. So it became a rock of offense and a stumbling stone to them which stumble at the word because they are children of disobedience, as they were appointed to before the foundation of the world. So what we're looking at here is twins, both religious, yet one is seed of God, the other is seed of the devil. And what we're finding is that the key to understanding this is only that those who are in the election will not stumble at the word. But those who are not God's seed will stumble at the two major doctrines that have come forth at every Exodus, which is God, that God has come down in a pillar of fire, which is Godhead and vindication, or his presence. Now, I want you to read this verse very carefully. Verse 9. But you are a chosen generation. The word here is genos, which we get from the word gene. Now, we get our word gene from genos, and it refers to lineage, seed, and offspring. So you are a chosen lineage. You are a chosen seed. You are a chosen offspring. And I want you to notice what these attributes of gene seed are. He says, we are a holy nation and a peculiar people. Now, I know this word peculiar, in our sense of the word, it means strange. But that's not what the Greek word says. It actually, and you are a purchased people, a people who have been bought with a price, a people who have been a redeemed people, that you should show forth the praise of Him who has called you out of darkness unto His marvelous light. Now, if we are to show forth His praises, then we are to say the same things that He said. We won't add to it. We won't take from it. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. And Brother Brown taught us that the word confess means to say the same thing, because it is made up of two Greek words, homo and logio. And the word homo means to say the same. And the word logio is the very thoughts of God manifested. It means the word. So we see that to confess Him is to say the same things He said about Himself. Then you've got to understand what He said in order to repeat it correctly. Because we could take children here, and you know, you all got little children, and you know that when they don't have an adult mind. I remember when Lisa, years ago, she was in church, and we were all singing some songs, and she was singing Old MacDonald Had a Farm. And you know, and I remember Patty said something to her, and she was like, Mom, I'm just singing. So, you see, but He says, we're no more children. All right? Now, so the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, because I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish thinking. Now, how many times that you've heard your children or grandchildren speak in the muddled sentence, which doesn't make any sense to you, but it does to them. So you see, that without an understanding, many of the things that we think about just do not come out right. We must have a mature mind to think mature thoughts. And God has come down to give us His mind in this hour. We must have a spiritually mature mind in order to receive God's thoughts. And that is the trouble that we have in the message today. Men are still living by the glare of another day, and they have not come to the place where they have let go of their own thoughts. And look, you do not have the capability or the capacity to hold on to your own thoughts and also receive the thoughts of God. One's got to go. And so when men hear Brother Bram make the statement, which the woman is took from the man, a part of the man, every gene of the man is in the woman. That's what makes the man, makes the woman. And that's the way the Word of God is in the church, what makes the church the bride. We find men who are not ordained to handle this Word, taking these words and making them into some sort of contorted female attributes of God or some sort of female Holy Ghost doctrine, which they did back in the 80s. It just goes to show that these men do not understand the doctrine of God, the Godhead, Father, Son, and therefore they cannot understand vindication either. 2 Timothy, in closing, 2 Timothy 3:13-14 and 16-17, Paul speaks of the importance of knowing of whom you're taught. Because the Word of God is actually instructional, and it's righteousness. And it takes a right word to be rightly wise. So the power has been prayed. Gracious Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for opening up our understanding today to some of these things, Lord, because just wondering, you know, we see, it seems to be a right thing, you know, make America great again. You know, let's restore us back to what we were in the 50s. But, you know, the prophet of God said in 56, it won't happen. It won't happen. Thus saith the Lord, she's doomed. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. And we see it, Father, getting worse and worse. We see a man come on the scene who seems to be, you know, a good president. He wants to make, you know, America great. He wants to put America first. But we see, no matter how many people he can get to a rally, nothing happens. Absolutely nothing happens. It's ordained not to happen. So, Father, we just commit ourselves to You, and we ask that You would finish the job, Father. You're here to gather Your jewels, like the great magnet that comes over, and just we're attracted to that magnet, and we're just caught up in it. That great rock that's come, the capstone, sealing us off, bringing us in to Your kingdom, but it's destroying the Gentile kingdom. And we see it all happening before us, and now we understand in Jesus' name we pray. And thank You, Lord, for what You're doing. Amen. Let's just sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day.
I know Unto him.